I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His incredible and real presence in your life. Well, if you're a serious follower of Christ, you want to please God, right? And you also want to be used greatly by Him. So what are those areas for you that you're maybe holding back from Him? Maybe you feel like He's holding out on you, so it's harder for you to trust Him. You know this, I just love, this is the no-fluff zone. I love real and honest and raw answers. So I'm going to ask you to engage with me, if you wouldn't mind. And I can keep your name anonymous if you prefer, but I'm going to ask you to text in and tell me, is there one area that you feel like you're holding out on God? One area that you're just having a hard time trusting Him with, so you're sort of holding on tight. Can you text me and let me know? 877-933-2484. I think you're probably going to find that you're not alone, right? Let me tell you about my guest. Author and speaker Vivian Mabuni joins me today, and her book is titled Open Hands, Willing Heart, Discover the Joy of Saying Yes to God. And my prayer by the end of the hour is you feel just this, something just awaken in your heart where you just trust God's love more than you did when we started, and you just have this desire to open up your hands and to say, yes, God, I'm going to trust you with anything and everything because you're good. And you're God. I hope by the end of the hour you feel that encouraged. A couple quick announcements before we hear from Vivian. There is another live stream event on the calendar. It's not on the website yet, so I'm just asking you to mark your calendar Sunday night, October 17th. Sheila Walsh and I are going to connect and talk about hope and about holding on when you feel like letting go. It's going to be another great live stream event with lots of fun giveaways and all kinds of things. So just right now, mark your calendar Sunday night, October 17th. And also to my friends listening in Fargo, I'll be speaking at the Real Life Women's Conference coming up October 23rd. I hope to see you there. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Vivian Mabuni is a national speaker and author, Bible teacher, and podcast host. Her writing has appeared in Christianity Today, She Reads Truth, Our Daily Bread, Propel, Sophia, and her teaching on YouVersion Bible app. She's been a keynote speaker at conferences, universities, and churches across the country. With 32 years serving on staff with Crew, Viv loves teaching about the Bible and practical application in ministry and life. She serves on the board of trustees at Denver Seminary. She's the author of Open Hands, Willing Heart. She's the founder and podcast of Someday Is Here. Viv loves drinking coffee with her husband of 30 years, Darren, and marveling at their three young adult kids. Wow, girl, you're a busy one. So welcome to the show. So glad to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Susie. I've been really looking forward to our conversation.
I mean, don't you, when you hear me read your bio, go, you know, I got a lot going on. Just a little bit.
Oh, yeah. But you know how bios are. They kind of, you smash everything in there. So
that's right.
It's definitely over the course of many decades.
Indeed. Well, well done, faithful servant. I just really honor the gift of God in you. Well, we love to start every day talking scripture. And I'm wondering if what the Lord's been speaking about these days.
Oh, I love this question. And even to kick off, because I love the Word of God. And I believe that more than ever, we need to keep rooted in the Scriptures and to keep God's Word as the plumb line of our life, and that we would worship and love God as He is revealed in the Scriptures. So I usually, in my own Bible reading, I kind of flip between Old Testament and New Testament and just my own personal devotional life. And so in recent times, I found myself in the book of 2 Chronicles, learning about the different kings. And in recent time, I've been in chapters 14, 15, and 16, looking at King Asa and how he had a time of peace during his reign. But he was the one that called people to put away their idols and to follow God, to take courage, to seek Him, and to seek the Lord with all their hearts and with all their soul, kind of hearkening back to even just what God's first commandment is, that we would love Him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And so I think for me, I'm being reminded once again to not hold back on calling people to the Lordship of Christ, to have God be fully king and ruler of our hearts and lives, of my heart and my life, and to not shrink back from that. And so that has been really encouraging. And then in the same way, realizing that God is able to really deliver us from just circumstances that don't make sense. And so I think being reminded that God's eyes move to and fro throughout the whole earth to strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. And I just read that this morning, and I'm so chewing good on that.
Don't you just love his word? I mean, it's so living and breathing and so powerful. Like no other words in any other book, the word of God is the word, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So powerful.
Yep.
I would love a little backstory on your faith journey.
Mm-hmm. So I did not grow up in a Christian home, Susie. I grew up culturally Buddhist. So if you can kind of picture the cartoon Coco or the cartoon Mulan, where there's just kind of a cultural Buddhism where we would invite the spirits of our dead ancestors during certain holidays. And it was cultural in that it didn't really influence my life on a day-to-day, you know, level. And then I had the privilege of sitting next to a girlfriend in math class in high school, and she just started glowing. And I looked at her and I said, "What happened to you? Did you become a vegetarian?" And she said, "No, I became a Christian." And I was like, "Well, what do you mean? You go to church now or something?" She goes, "No, I have a personal relationship with Jesus." And I heard that, and to be honest, I was really disappointed because I really liked my friend, and I thought she was so funny and smart, and I just couldn't understand how she could be duped into believing this mythology that was the Bible and Jesus. But boy, I sat next to her every day, and her life was marked by a radical change, so much so that I knew that God was real and that he was intimately involved in her life. So she kind of, her life bumped into my life at a time when I, you know, had a lot of questions. I was in high school and I went to youth group with some friends because they were cute boys. But as I started looking into this relationship with Jesus, I was really captivated by him and realized that there was actually an intellectual basis for the Christian faith, that it wasn't just blind faith, that there was, you know, hard evidence of the resurrection of Christ. And so I put my faith in Christ in high school, but then I tried to live the Christian life in my own efforts. So I knew that Christians read the Bible. I didn't have one, so I drove to the mall and bought one, and I read it, and it didn't make any sense, and there were all of these names and measurements of this temple, and I just thought, this is dry. And then I would drive myself to church, and I would cry through the worship songs, but then when I came home, life was just as normal as before. So I felt like I was culturally Christian in the same that I was culturally Buddhist. And then this is the point in time that everything changed, that my dad went through midlife crisis, and we had lived in Boulder, Colorado for all of my growing up years. So 17 years in Boulder. And he comes home with the news that we were moving right before my senior year of high school. And we weren't moving across town. We weren't moving to another state. We were moving from Boulder, Colorado to Hong Kong. And that's the intersection of my life by God really took place in Hong Kong, where I just gave him kind of an ultimatum prayer where I just said, "You know what? I'm so mad, but I really want to know you. I need a church, a youth group, Christian friends. And if you do that, I will give you my whole life. I'll hold nothing back." And God came through in Hong Kong, Susie, and I followed through on my part and gave him my whole life. And it's just been an adventure ever since.
My goodness. So how did he do that? What happened in Hong Kong?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I grew up speaking Mandarin. My ethnic heritage is Chinese. My parents were both born in China. So I grew up speaking Mandarin, but Cantonese is the spoken language in Hong Kong. So the same Chinese characters, but completely different pronunciation. So I could not understand a word that was being said on the street. I ended up attending a Catholic girls' school, and they had a debate team that debated in English. And so I thought, I can join the debate team. So I joined the debate team shortly after this prayer that I had prayed. We debated against a boys' school, rival boys' school. And this guy came up to me and said, "Are you a Christian? Would you like to come to our youth group?" And it turned out that there was a small Christian Missionary Alliance church down the street from my school, walking distance from our flat. And there in Hong Kong, I was discipled. I learned to walk with the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. I learned to share my faith, saw friends come to Christ. I mean, it was incredible. It was in Hong Kong, and God just came through in so many remarkable ways.
What an incredible story. And how long did you live in Hong Kong?
I just lived there my one senior year. My parents ended up living there for an additional 13 years. But I just lived there for my senior year and then came back to the University of Colorado for school.
Wow. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want you to just, if you would, Viv, give us just some key points in your journey when you learned the power of surrender, the power of saying yes to Lord. I'd love to know about that. And I've asked friends to text in, you know, what are you having a hard time trusting God with? One dear listener said, my daughter. Another said, the sovereignty of God, the fact, you know, that if he's in control, because it feels like evil is always winning. It sure does feel like that at times. Hey, Vivian's book, Vivian Mabuni is her name. Her book, Open Hands, Willing Heart, Discover the Joy of Saying Yes to God. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. It's a great book. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484 if you want to get in on the drawing. More with Vivian Mabuni when we return. Much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to author and speaker Vivian Mabuni. Her book is titled Open Hands, Willing Heart, Discover the Joy of Saying Yes to God. And I just asked before at the open of the show, if you would mind sharing with me, friends, is there a particular area that you just feel like it's just a challenge to trust and trust to God? One dear listener said, finances. I just keep wanting to do my path, my plan, have a hard time trusting him. And what's often true is in those very areas where you've struggled, where it maybe seems like God didn't intervene when you wanted him to, are the very areas we tend to cling maybe a little too tightly to. Again, we've got a handful of copies of Open Heart, Hands, Willing Heart. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So this whole idea of the joy of saying yes to God, Vivian, again, if you don't mind, just because your story is so fascinating, talk about just when this message was really birthed in your heart. Like, what were some of the turning points in your story where you had the option to go your way or his way and you decide to trust him instead?
I love that question, Susie. I think when I look back now, I mean, you know, again, I think when we're teenagers, our brains aren't completely fused. And so we have, you know, just a lot of components in our lives that are still being formed. But when I look back now over the course of now decades of walking with the Lord, I definitely see points in time when God was calling me to surrender. So that Hong Kong story was probably the first time that I really did push all the chips into the middle of the table and said, okay, I'm all in. And then, you know, there were specific times regarding like work and the future, what I was going to do after I graduated from college. Then I had, you know, a health crisis that I was diagnosed with breast cancer with three young kids at home and again needed to open my hands and trust God with circumstances that were out of my control, that I really needed to go back to God's character. And coming out of that cancer journey, to be honest, Susie, I felt like I had more questions than answers and simultaneously felt like my faith was solidified in a way that wasn't before cancer. And then just as I keep looking, there have been so many heartbreaking things about even the last 2 years with COVID and this disappointment and discouragement and division all around and needing to continue to stay firm in the Word of God and the God of the Word and to respond with open hands and trust.
So good. You know, Vivian, I've noticed for myself that oftentimes surrender and surprise go hand in hand. Maybe I'd say surprise comes a little bit later, but the places that are so hard and so painful for me to trust him in. And when I do that, He surprises me with his goodness. It doesn't always tie up in a nice bow, and it doesn't always even happen right away. But it seems like when mm-hmm. you leave all the options to him, and instead of trying to force an outcome or bend, you know, things to our will, he does. Mm-hmm. He is better than we are. Thanks, mm-hmm. Christ.
Yeah.
But he's so good, and he would actually be kinder to us than we would probably be to ourselves in the long run if we could trust him in the short run, you know?
That is so true. It brings to mind, you know, such a familiar psalm to all of us, Psalm 23, where the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and all of that David writes. But then David describes God, that he makes me lie down, he leads me, turns into you, your rod, your staff, they comfort me, and he becomes you in the valley of the shadow of death. And for me, I realize that my intimacy with God really is forged in those difficult times, that as we say yes to him, even when nothing else makes sense, we gain an intimacy with God that I think we, when everything is going our way, we may not necessarily experience to the same degree of actually moving our head knowledge to our heart, but it requires that willingness to enter into what's uncomfortable or what's unknown, what's scary or potentially a place of darkness and loss and grief.
You know, let's talk comfort zones for just a moment, because, you know, sometimes you hear people say, I don't want to trust him because I'm afraid he's going to send me to Hong Kong. You know what I mean? But they'll hear right. your story.
But
and yet so often it's just this kind of juxtaposition of, on one hand, yes, he's going to call you out of your comfort zone. But on the other hand, he's not going to call you to do something that will destroy you. Or that doesn't mm-hmm. fit with his story for you, right? I mean, that was, you know, you mm-hmm. there was something that God had for you there that you still are drawing from today. But talk about sort of that tension of going, yes, okay, on one hand, yep, he's going to call you out of your comfort zone. But on the other hand, when we imagine scenarios we'll hate and go, that's what God's going to ask of me if I trust him, is what keeps us from trusting him. What do you say?
Oh, yes. I think that is a very common fear. And I've struggled with that as well, thinking, you know, the worst case scenario, if I really trust God, then all these horrible things are going to happen. What I realized is that horrible things happen in our fallen world. And so there are horrible things that happen because of my own stupidity and mistakes, and I have to reap the consequences of those things that are horrible. But there are also just horrible things that happen to us that we weren't responsible for, and we still are in the consequences of that. I think of people who've lost their homes in floods and things like that, where God absolutely could have spared the destruction, and yet in his sovereignty somehow allowed certain things to happen. And I think in that, again, recognizing God's unchanging character in the midst of our circumstances, and recognizing that we don't see the end of the story. And so there are some of the challenges that we walk through that we may not have the full answer this side of glory. There are other times that God does give us glimpses of the reasons why, that we can look back on the Hong Kong experiences or the other financially challenging times, and see God's faithfulness as he delivers us. And what I realized in all of it at the end of the day is that the Lord loves that we trust him, that we rely on him and not rely on past experience or rely on formulas or rely on a certain outcome even. Like sometimes I think when I pray that I must have the best, you know, plan for each of my kids, for example, and I pray with strong directives like, this is the issue, this is the problem, and God, you need to fix it this way. And I've come to understand that even in those spaces, like one of your guests that's just called in with kids, sometimes the most honest prayer for my kids is to literally picture them and place them in my hands and just lift them to the Lord with no words. And it's just, thy will be done. And I think that sometimes when we release control, it gives God's Spirit space to move and direct and guide and comfort and lead. And when we're clinging and we're trying to make, call the shots, and we have the steering wheel and we're white knuckling it through life, that we don't experience peace or God's presence in the way that we could if we were to let go.
Have you found, Vivian, that in, because you've tried to make this a lifestyle to trust Him with the really big things, that it's a little bit easier for you to trust Him with the little things, the hidden things that maybe others may not ever see, but just sort of offering your moments up to God? You know, when you kind of hit the rumble strips, where you start to feel the bumbling a little bit, going, okay, my flesh could jump in here, or I could trust God. You know what I'm saying? Do you find that it becomes more instinctive for you to surrender and trust Him in those things?
You know, every time I'm called to really trust again, I really wrestle. I mean, it's a genuine wrestle. And yet at the same time, I can look back on God's incredible faithfulness every time. So it's kind of the simultaneous. On one hand, the view, if you're hiking up a mountain, you can see farther, and you can see there's history of God's faithfulness every time there's been that trust. But getting in into the river of trust, where I have to get into the water and be cold and uncomfortable, it still requires that fresh faith every time. So on one hand, it's easier because of God's faithful presence all throughout my years walking with Him. But it doesn't take away that sometimes terrifying willingness to move into the unknown. So I find it like it's both and. And I'm trying to learn to hold those kinds of things in tension more and more, that they can both exist, that my going scared is not necessarily lack of faith. It's just really honest and still like, it's that prayer that the Father says, that, you know, I believe, help me in my unbelief. And I think that that's a beautiful prayer of honesty and humility and just a turning to God, which I think God just delights in to meet us there.
I can't even tell you how much I love that answer. I mean, that's got to feel like just a relief. It sure is for me, you know, the idea that, yes, I have a history with God, but when I face a new challenge, here I am again, learning to wrestle, and God's grace abounds in those places. How beautiful is that? Talking to Vivian Mabuni, what a gorgeous name. Her book is titled Open Hands, Willing Heart, Discover the Joy of Saying Yes to God. Got a handful of copies to give away today. We'd love to get one into your hands. If you want to enter the drawing, you just text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you've got questions, comments, send them in. Otherwise, my question for you is, what are you holding out on? Is there something you're holding on, maybe clinging too tightly to? And is there a place in your life where you feel like God is still holding out on you? Because I'd love to pray for you in that regard. More with Vivian in a moment. Hope you're having a really great day. It's Susie Larson Live talking to Vivian Mabuni. Her book, Open Hands, Willing Heart, Discover the Joy of Saying Yes to God. And most of you know, if you listen often enough, I deal with this wretched chronic illness of Lyme and mold junk. And, you know, I never have more than 2 good days in a row. And but, you know, God is sustaining me and strengthening me. And anyway, I'm still on the road speaking and stuff. And I came off of an event last weekend. Sunday woke up, I was so exhausted. And when I'm exhausted, my neck goes numb and my head, whatever. And I just was like, and I can bend towards discouragement when I hit that place of utter exhaustion and the symptoms start to flare. And I had a little vial of anointing oil that my mentor gave me. It was myrrh. And, the burial oil, if I remember right, you know, and it's just such a reminder to me of death to self and life of Christ in me. Anyway, I just decided to, instead of going into the ditch of discouragement, I would just anoint my forehead with oil as a reminder that He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. Well, I put it to my forehead and I forgot it wasn't a roll-on, and it dumped all over my face. until it was dripping off my chin. And I heard the Lord whisper to my heart, I lavish goodness and mercy. I lavish my anointing on you. And Vivian, I mean, sometimes those things happen, and I just, like, it took me a little while to get all the oil off my face, but it was such a visual to me of that is who God is. Even in the midst of our weakness, disappointment, frustration, there is a presence and there is a promise of provision that we can't, that we walk in, that we don't even know we're fully possessing, you know?
Yes, that is so beautiful. And I imagine that, I experienced that for me with my cancer journey and, you know, going through chemotherapy and losing my hair and being in chronic pain and just feeling for so long unwell. And that's how the Lord expanded my soul and expanded my ability to relate with others who have also dealt with pain. But there's an empathy that comes. And I just think, you know, sometimes these physical challenges that we have in our bodies, we're kind of confined in our physical bodies for a time. But when we deal with chronic pain and, you know, disease and all of those things, that actually softens us to be able to reach an even wider group of people who also walk in the same path. And I wonder if the Lord has just used this challenge in your life in such a way that you have greater compassion for others who suffer and struggle.
Yeah, it's very, very true. Thank you for that. And a listener texted in and said, did Vivian's parents ever come to the faith? What do you say?
I'm still praying for them. So I would love for all of your listeners to pray for my parents as well. The interesting thing is my husband, Darren, was also the first Christian in his family. And in our years of marriage, we've seen his entire family come to Christ, and including my nephews and nieces, which is just so incredible. So yeah, I'm still praying for my parents. My sister did come to Christ, and still praying for my parents.
Any family still in Hong Kong? Or are they all in the States now?
They're all in the States now. I do have some distant relatives, I think, in Hong Kong still, but most everyone else in the States.
I love the A.W. Tozer quote you opened one particular chapter with. God is so vastly wonderful, so utterly and completely delightful that he can, without anything other than himself, meet and overflow the deepest demands of our total nature, mysterious and deep as that nature is. Maybe speak to that person today who one of the reasons they can't, they don't feel like they can surrender and give God their full yes is because of a scarcity mindset, that they just, they really don't know the vastness that Tozer is talking about here, and maybe because they've not ever experienced it before.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because I think that we really do need to invest into knowing who God is. And I think A.W. Tozer describes so well God's character, that as we are reminded of the fact that God is all-loving and all-knowing and all-powerful, among so many other things, but that he never changes, and these attributes are braided together. So an example would be, if God is all loving, like let's say I fell off a cliff hiking, you know, and I'm holding on to some tree root. If my grandmother, you know, who is all loving and knows I fell off, if she doesn't have the physical strength to rescue me, then I'm still stuck. Or if the same scenario is that I'm falling off the cliff and this sinister man who's strong enough to, you know, get me out, but he hates women and he knows my situation and he doesn't love me, then I'm not going to let go and trust him. Or let's just say it's my husband who is very strong, but let's say he loves me, he's very strong, but he's watching football with his friends. He doesn't know I fell off the cliff. It's like this idea that God is all three, that he's all knowing, all loving, and all powerful. Mm-hmm. And as we recognize that, then we can let go and let him rescue us in our time of need.
Boy, that's so good. And I love this quote. When God says he is all powerful or omnipotent, it means nothing is too hard for him. He spoke and the world came into being. This required no effort. All resources belong to him. He has unlimited time and energy. Mm-hmm. What would you say in the last, 5 years has been your biggest yes, where you surrendered and it wasn't easy, you wrestled and you trusted God, and then how did it turn out?
You know, it's so interesting because there have been these steps of faith. I've long been burdened to see more Asian American representation, especially in Christian circles. And so I have kind of gone on this little faith adventure with Some Days Here with this podcast, and we had a live event and then a virtual event. And in the midst of trusting God with something so new and so beautiful, it's also come under some really difficult, trying times where I've had to trust God. And it has not been, Susie, it has not been a straight line from point A to point B. And I really want it to be just easy. I really just think, okay, if I'm going to trust you, God, it just should, the outcome should just be smooth. And I'm having to really dig deep to trust that even in the choppy, bumpy waters, and even when I'm derailed or things did not turn out how I thought they would, that I can still return back to what I know to be true, that God is here, that he is unchanging, that his character is unchanging, that he's completely trustworthy, and to keep going back to him and calling others to trust him as well. And that in that space, I'm going to be okay. But it's just not been just an easy point A to point B, like, okay, here's the idea. And now I'm going to do this. And now it's going to be fine. It hasn't turned out that way yet. So.
Well, clearly, you know, the opposition is such a evidence that you're, you know, moving into territory and claiming some real estate that the enemy thinks he's occupied. And he doesn't give up too easily, does he?
Oh my goodness. We just need those constant reminders that we really do have an unseen enemy who his whole objective is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's the father of lies. And I think we don't remember that very often. And we also have our flesh, and we also have the world system. And so there is opposition against us, just whether it's, you know, spiritual influences, our own flesh, or even the world system.
Mm-hmm. When you say a couple of the attitudes that tend to get in the way of a surrendered life are apathy and entitlement. And wow, Vivian, I love the church and I love our nation and I love the capital C church, the global church, very passionate about both. And I pray every day about both. So I don't mean to sound like I'm harping on Christians in the West, but I just think it's a pretty noticeable fact that prior to these 20 months, there's been prevailing apathy and entitlement and consumerism in the body of Christ. And have mercy on us, oh God. But I think that the great shaking that's happening is really waking us up, and we need an awakening. But that's just my little two cents. But what say you?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that it's been a revealing time and it has shaken us up. And I do pray that we as believers, sometimes I think honestly, Christians can be the worst. And I think it needs to begin with my own heart, that I would have humility and have a teachable posture. But Jesus said that they would know that we are Christians by our love. And I feel like when I look across the landscape, there has not been a lot of really positive role models showing love in the midst of so much division and so much pain that has been surfacing all around. So I think we have an incredible opportunity as the capital C church to display what loving our neighbor looks like and what the gospel teaches as far as the value of all people, that people are made in the image of God and are all worthy of dignity and respect and honor.
If you could speak to the church, the church in the West anyway, about the racial divides, what would you say?
I think that first is just understanding that there is history and there is truth in that there have been racial divides, and that has not ever been God's heart or intention. That when we look at, for example, in Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul writes about we're saved by grace through faith and that we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, that right after that, in verse 10 through the rest of the chapter, is talking about breaking down divisions between Jews and Gentiles, and just this whole idea that that there is something so beautiful in the ways that different people reflect God and different people groups and ethnic heritages reflect God. So I would say that to your listeners, and again, speaking to my own heart as well, that it's really recognizing that when we start to think that heaven is a Hillsong concert, or that, you know, we only speak English in heaven, or that God is an American, then we have completely missed it. So I think we just need reminders that God is not an American, that Jesus never spoke English, that, you know, that there's a cultural piece that is part of our faith heritage. And to recognize that is so important, but to move into that and to be learners. And I think one of the principles that is a guiding principle for me is that defensive people cannot empathize. So we have to lower our defenses and have a posture of teachability and to receive input from trusted leaders.
Boy, very good. When we come back, I want to talk a bit about maturity, because you talk about three components required for maturity. And one of the deep desires of my heart as far as why we do this show is to help believers mature in their faith. Ultimately, what gets me out of bed every day is to get everybody ready to meet Jesus. Hey, if you're lost, I want you found. You know, if you're hurting and broken, I want you restored. If you're sick, I want you healed. And if you are righteous, if you're in Christ, you are. I want you mobilized into your high calling. Talking to Vivian Mabuni today, her book, Open Hands, Willing Heart, talking about the joy of saying yes to God. We'll talk more with her in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, enjoying my conversation with my new friend, love her, Vivian Mabuni. Her book, Open Hands, Willing Heart, Discover the Joy of Saying Yes to God. I love that so much. And as I mentioned before the break, one of our goals here is to help believers mature in their faith. And I'm going to read this excerpt from your book and just love to have you comment on it. You said, maturity requires three components: dependence, obedience, and time. Dependence means our source is God alone. The yielding of our lives and will to Him is what demonstrates a posture of dependence. Obedience is choosing to do the right thing and following God's will and His plan and process. And time is simply time. Weeds grow overnight, but established trees that endure through the seasons of life require time. Say more, Viv.
Oh, it's a good reminder, Susie. It's a good reminder, because I look outside my window and we have an apple tree, and it's hardwired to produce apples, but there's nothing that replaces the time that requires for the tree branches to be strong enough to hold the apples. And I think sometimes we get these components mixed up and we get upset that we aren't more fruitful quicker. And I think we need to just keep in mind that there is a time factor, and we so are in need of having relationships, I believe, with people who are seasoned in their faith to kind of show us what it looks like to be fruitful, fruit-bearing people. And one of the things that I think about is that, you know, the very familiar John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, he bears much fruit. And we focus so much on fruit, and maturity means that we are bearing fruit, I believe. But when we focus only on the fruit, I think we miss the point that the way to increase our yield of fruit is to increase our yield to Jesus. So the way to increase our yield is to increase our yield. And there's just something to be said about life experience and seeing the faithfulness of God. But I have seen some women who remain stuck in something horrible that happened to them or by the, you know, to them in their past. Or, for example, I'm thinking specifically of a woman that I met many years ago who never forgave the person who was the drunk driver that where her brother passed away. And so her lack of forgiveness kept her stuck in that space. And God has made a way for us to live supernaturally, where we have the opportunity to grant forgiveness and to be able to heal and to grieve and to be able to then turn that around and continue to grow. But sometimes we get stuck. So there is, like, maturity does mean that we are not only dependent, but that we're obedient. And when God calls us to forgive, as we've been forgiven, that we follow through on that part. And that's part of our health and our just overall well-being. So when God's Spirit points out areas of sin or areas of disobedience, when we are quick to confess those and to ask Him for help in those areas where we get stuck and to bring in community, then we really do experience healing. And I think we are so isolated often, and we start to think of our faith as an individualistic faith where we have our quiet time and devotion time, our Bible reading time, and we forget that when God's talking about growth and life, it's always in the context of community and collective. So those are some of the components, I believe, of what maturity requires.
Yeah, you can't sprint to maturity. So I so appreciated just that breakdown. And if you don't mind, Vivian, would you share the story that you wrote in the book about when your aunt cut your hair?
Oh, yes, I would. Yes. So when I was 9 years old, I had hair, straight jet black hair that it was so long I could sit down on it. And I had an aunt and a cousin and an uncle that moved to the U.S. that summer, and they were living in our house. And my aunt, who's an artist, said, "Oh, it's just so hot here in Colorado. Why don't I trim your hair?" And so she took the back of an envelope and drew the back of my head, and she showed my hair like halfway down my back with the edges trimmed up. And she said, "Something like this." And I said, "Okay." So we set up everything in the bathtub, and she took out scissors, and the first clip of the scissors were above my ears. So she cut like over 2 feet of hair, and I looked like a boy. And it was so traumatic. And I just remember just wailing in the bathroom alone. And I somehow stuffed that memory away and kind of went on in life. And then when I was in college, I had a Bible study where our assignment was to ask God to show us if there were any places that we needed to confess and to forgive. And so I kind of was thinking, oh, I can't think of anything. And then I remembered that memory of my aunt, and the tears came, and I remembered the moment, and the Lord very gently said, "You need to forgive her." And so I wrote on a piece of paper, "I forgive my aunt for lying to me, for taking advantage of me, for being such a young girl, and for, hurting me and for cutting my hair and all of that," and just kind of wrote it all out. And then I wrote over that 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And just, it was a point in time that I remember releasing my aunt from the consequences of her sin and letting her have to live with those consequences, that I was not going to be the one to make sure that everything was right. I was going to choose to forgive. And that opened up incredible love for her. It was supernatural. I had not experienced that before that moment.
And you mentioned how prior to that, you know, without even realizing it, you didn't look her in the eye. You kind of cooled when you were around her. But you sure understand that that is so traumatic. And she never apologized. Just curious, do you know why she did that?
You know, I don't. I don't know why she did that. But I look back now, and she definitely, I think, was mentally unstable in some ways. So there could be some of that. She may have been jealous of my hair. You know, I'm not really sure, but she never apologized. But that's where I realized the power of forgiveness is not, I've heard it described that unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping someone else will. And so it's this idea that my unforgiveness was harming me, where there was a way to freedom by choosing to forgive. It seems so backwards and upside down, but when God says that we're to forgive as we've been forgiven and 7 times 77, it's like, it really is an understanding of the gospel, even in a really practical way. And
you know, sometimes we know that we're harboring, and other times it's stuffed in the basement to the degree that we really don't know. But in his loving kindness, he brings it up when we're ready for freedom. You know, I mean, I remember many years ago doing some ministry with a young gal who had all kinds of she was stuck in a lot of pain, and we walked through the people she needed to forgive. And she said, I can't think of anybody else. And I said, well, if there is somebody, you know, let's just ask the Lord to show you. Well, she called me like 2 days later. This was many years ago, so we weren't texting at that point. But she said, you're not going to believe it. She said, after you prayed that, I went home, turned on the news, and an ex-boyfriend was on TV being interviewed over some, like, I don't know, storm that came through, whatever. But it was just this benign story. But this was an ex-boyfriend who absolutely broke her heart. And she realized, she goes, I hated him. I needed to forgive him.
Yes.
But I was like, how good of God to, like, he can get, if we want to yield, if we want to surrender, if we want to be free, he will make sure it happens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That is so true. That is so true. And there is something to be said, I would say, for people who do feel stuck to seek out a professional therapist, counselor, to help walk through some of these things, because sometimes some of the horrendous things that have happened are so deeply rooted that it's really helpful to have a skilled therapist who knows how to walk us through some of the deeper, darker places.
Don't you just love how God reached down from on high and lifted your chin, Viv, to just make sure that you knew how much he loved you? And then you look back at, you saw that glow on your friend's face, and that this was the beginning of him going, I want this for you too.
Yeah, I will never get to, I still have goosebumps even right now as we're talking, and just so much gratitude for just God bringing just the right person at just the right time in all of these moments. And I think if you and I and all of your listeners just took a moment just to reflect on the faces of the people that have been so significant, even in insignificant ways, but have been significant in our own faith journeys, I just think it's just such a glimpse of just the incredible tapestry of relationships that God allows in a planet of 8 billion people.
Boy, what do you know about him now that you didn't know 5, 7 years ago?
I know that God's plans are so beyond what we picture. So I kind of harkens back to something you had mentioned even earlier in our conversation, but we just don't even realize what's around the corner. And it's not that we're seeking after necessarily this incredible life or ministry or anything, but I just look back over the last 5 to 7 years and think it doesn't make sense. Like, none of it makes sense, but God is clearly at work. And I realize that there's, in God's economy, nothing is wasted. So even in the pain, and even in misunderstanding, and even in brokenness, that God doesn't waste any of it. And so there's nothing wasted in God's economy. And I'm just so incredibly grateful that he never gives up, and he is so, so faithful, so, so good, loves us so, so much.
Well, you are a beautiful heart, Vivian, and thanks to our producer, Angie Smith, who's been pushing, going, you two have to meet. I'm so grateful to know you and consider you my dear sister. God bless you, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me so much, Susie.
Mm-hmm. Vivian Mabuni, I guess, love that name. Open Hands, Willing Heart is the title of her book. Pray you found some encouragement here today. Whatever it is you're white-knuckling, let go, release, and see what God will do with you. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.